Welcome to Face to Face. Face to Face is an in-depth look at the life and career of a popular sports figure from a Christian perspective. Now, here's your host of Face to Face, Tom Rust.
All right, thank you, and welcome to Face to Face. Hope that you're doing well, and hope that you're seeing signs of spring. And one of the big signs of spring for me is baseball. I love baseball, and I love spending time with baseball players. And a few years ago, I met a baseball player, met a guy who was playing at the time for the Los Angeles Dodgers, was playing in the Los Angeles Dodgers system, named Brent Leach. And Brent and I have become very good friends. In fact, we probably talk 2 to 3 times a week sometimes. And we talk back and forth, text back and forth. And Brent now is a pitcher in the Milwaukee Brewers system. He has not pitched for the Brewers yet, but he's very close. In fact, this year he was invited to camp as a non-roster invitee. And if you're familiar with baseball, you know that baseball players have a roster, baseball teams have a roster of 40 players that they choose from in spring training. They choose 25 players to go up, to go north, as they say, to start the season of those 40 players. And then there's a few players, probably 6 to 8 or so, who are given the opportunity. They're not on the what's called the 40 man. They are given the opportunity to make the team. And if they do, then the team will buy their contract and they will become a part of the major league team. If not, they go to the minor league team, and that's where Brent Leach is now. He is pitching in the AAA level team, the Colorado Springs Sky Sox, and that is just one step out of the majors. But Brent and I have become friends, and his baseball career has been a journey over the last couple of years, over the last few years, actually. It has taken him not just through the Dodgers system, but he's had a short stint with the Atlanta Braves and their minor league system, and he's even played in Japan. So he's got quite a story, and what we thought we would do is just give you the opportunity to get to know Brent, sort of like I know Brent Leach. So we'll take a break, and when we come back, you'll hear from Brent Leach of the Colorado Springs Sky Sox, the AAA affiliate of the Milwaukee Brewers. We'll take a break and be back. You're listening to Face to Face. All right, welcome back to Face to Face. Glad to have you with us. And we're talking baseball again this week, talking with a guy who's become a pretty good friend. But his name is Brent Leach. He's a left-handed pitcher now with the Milwaukee Brewers. He's non-roster invitee right now. That means he gets a chance to wear the Brewers uniform and gets in occasionally in spring training. And he's got some major league experience. Mostly his experience is in the minors. But, Brent, first of all, thanks for being a part of Face-to-Face.
I'm honored, Tom. I'm honored.
You were drafted in the 6th round out of Delta State, Mississippi, by the Los Angeles Dodgers. Tell me, when you were drafted, what was that feeling like, and did you expect to get to the majors?
Oh, I can still remember it like it was yesterday, even though I was sitting at my parents' house watching the tracker. And I'm pretty humbled about it. And I was watching the tracker going, and then it said Los Angeles Dodgers 6th round. They picked left-handed pitcher Brent Leach. And I tried not to show any emotions. I was sitting there kind of like, oh, yeah, here we go. I remember going outside the back of my parents' house and just doing the fist pump and some cartwheels just where nobody could see me and just thinking, man, this is awesome. This is the first step of wanting to do of what I wanted to do my whole life.
What was your success like in high school? I know you played, played some ball at Southern Mississippi University and played at Delta State. What was your success like?
If I could go back to my high school days, I can say that I didn't really know what in the world I was doing. I would get on the mound and I would just compete. I would go after batters. I think I had some crazy stat of pitching 77 innings and striking out 133 batters. That's mainly complimentary of the old curveball back in those days, just because I felt like I could drop that thing out of the sky and baffle a few batters back in my high school days. And then Southern Miss days, you start learning, you start getting, realizing it's more about the team. Delta State days, that's where I feel like I got all my guts.
Yep. That's where it all came through for you there, and you got drafted by the Dodgers. You got to the majors in 4 years. You were called up to fill in for an injured Dodger pitcher in May of 2009. Tell me about that.
Hong Ji Kuo, that's who the Dodger pitcher was. But I remember I was in North Carolina, and John Valentin was the manager, and I got a phone call at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, and I was half asleep. And he called me over to the room, and he just looked at me. He was like, "Were you okay tonight?" And I was like, "Yes, sir." And he was like, "Why don't you go 3-2 to that batter?" I was like, "Well, he battled me off, but I struck him out. What's the big deal?" He was like, "Well, I just want to tell you, you're going to the big leagues." And I was just sitting there like, "What in the world are we talking about that batter for?" But it was just one of those moments. I walked out of that room and hit my knees, and just for the opportunity, whether it was a day or 10 years, I didn't know, but I was excited for it.
What was your first game in 2009? First time you took the mound, was it at Dodger Stadium or on the road?
It was at Dodger Stadium against the Nationals. And I remember facing Adam Dunn and all the big studs that the Nationals had that year. But I remember it took a couple days for me to get in. I was sitting there just kind of 4 days into it. And I remember reading a devotional about God's perfect timing. And it was so evident that it was God's perfect timing that night, because the day I had that devotional, it was the day I got in.
You had 38 games with the Dodgers. You went 2-0 from May to July. Were there any Dodgers, people say when you get to be the Los Angeles Dodgers and you put on the uniform, you're like every other guy on the team, but I know from experience of talking to guys, that's not always true. Were there anybody on the Dodgers that you were really in awe of when you put on that uniform?
Oh, man, it was kind of like walking around a history museum of baseball players whenever it came to going to spring training with the Dodgers and everything. But now that I look back at it, my first game, I got to pitch in. Kershaw was the one that started it. Mm-hmm. And even though we're good buddies and everything, I'm still in awe of him, just mm-hmm. because he walks the walk and talks the talk. And plus, he's just like a big kid, just having fun and going out there and pitching. And just watching what he did and still doing, it's just – and now you start seeing the resemblance of Sandy Koufax, and they're talking about all that. Mm-hmm. That's what I was in awe of.
It's been really interesting, your career. You got to the Dodgers in 2009. You have not been back to the majors, but your journey since 2009 has been really interesting. And one of the things that happened was in 2011, you went to Japan. And I understand it's really different playing baseball in Japan. Tell me about playing baseball in Japan.
Oh, it was... It's different. That's the easy thing to say, but I just remember showing up and the translator meet me, and he was talking English, and I'm sitting there with my eyes wide open being like, is he really talking English? I was like, that's more like Japanglish. but it was neat, just because we went down to Okinawa, Japan for spring training. And there's so many things that I'll just never forget just from that. Just in the opening ceremony night, I remember sitting at a table with a bunch of Americans and it being all the head people of each military branch that's in Okinawa, and just getting to see what our military does over there, and just how awesome that was. And then just, we had a starter, my first bullpen day, this was a quick story. I was throwing my bullpen, I threw 50 pitches and I felt like that was a lot. And I go do my running and I come back and you got two guys just going at it and they just look exhausted. I'm like, these same guys are the same people that I started throwing with. I was like, how many pitches have they thrown? And they were over 300 pitches.
Wow.
And it was like their goal to see if they could get in 2,000 pitches within that first month in February.
Oh, man.
But that was pretty cool. And then the games were just, it makes our stadiums sound so quiet.
Yeah.
Just because it was like 60,000 fans cheering and singing the whole time, and they're in every pitch.
Now, 2011, of course, is when you played in Japan, and that was a very historic year in Japan. While you were there, they had the tragic earthquake and the resulting tsunami. Where were you when the earthquake hit?
I was at our home field in Yokohama, and it was a mid-morning game. We're playing the occult swallows. And I was going to go get it into the taxi and take off and go back to the apartment and meet up with my wife and everything, because it was kind of like here, you have the afternoons you're going to spend with your family or whatever before the season starts. And I remember the other American guy got in the car, Clayton Hamilton, into the taxi, and we're going to take it back to the condos where we were living, and it just started rocking. And the guy, Clayton, who got in the car, he looked out and he's like, "Leach, quit shaking the car." And I was like, "That's an earthquake." And I remember looking at a Jeep Wrangler and the wheels just bouncing side to side. And then it was just, people were coming out of the stadium screaming. So this was my first earthquake. And I was like, "Man, this must be like the big one. And so it stopped. And when it stopped, I ran back out on the field and saw all the fans coming down there, telling them to come down the field. And you could see the lights swaying. And they kept talking about the aftershock. And that aftershock hit, and then I was just looking in the skies. I was like, "Okay, Jesus is coming back." I have no control. It just felt like you're on a boat, just rocking. And but I was in Yokohama the day that happened.
And you made a decision. Well, the Americans were sent home, right?
Yes. It's a couple weeks later, after the radiation plant blew up there in Fukushima, they sent back. Team started sending the Americans home, and then the U.S. Embassy put a kind of evacuation notice out on the website, and that's when they were like, "Okay, let's send these guys home for a little bit, get their minds right."
Our guest is Brent Leach, now a pitcher with the Milwaukee Brewers. We're talking about his time when he was with the Dodgers and when he was in Japan. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk more to Brent about his spiritual life and what's happened since those days in Japan. You're listening to Face to Face. Welcome back to Face to Face. Our guest is Brent Leach, and we're talking baseball, talking about some of the things that have happened in his life. Now, tell me about, you did not go back to Japan, and since then it's been kind of an interesting journey. What's happened since Japan has happened? What has happened to your baseball career since then? What's going on?
Well, not to call you out, Tom, but I did go back to Japan.
Okay.
I did. We sat at home for a little over a month, because when we got home, we found out my wife was pregnant, and it was just kind of one of those freak out moments.
Your wife did not go back to Japan, is that
she
right?
She went. She went back to.
Okay.
And I didn't want her to go, just because when they were dealing with all that radiation, we were playing conspiracy theory, wondering what was really going on over there. But we went back, and it was an awesome experience. I wouldn't change anything about it, and it just kind of bounced around. Shortly after that.
Now, when you came back, you spent some time with a couple other teams. You were in the Atlanta organization with the AA Mississippi Braves, right close to your hometown in Jackson. Mm-hmm. And then the last couple of years, you've been with the Brewers. And has it seemed like it's been really tough to get back to the majors?
If I was outside looking in, it definitely looks tough. But this has been one of those journeys where every time you think about hanging up the cleats, something kind of intervenes and says, "It looks like we're going to keep the cleats on and keep on moving forward." And this year, I never thought I'd be back in big league camp, and it's just kind of, I've been just kind of blessed to know that I got my cleats on and I'm sitting in a big league clubhouse again with some high profile athletes, and just knowing I have a small opportunity that could be there. And all I can do is go pitch and get outs, and the chips will lay where they fall.
I know your faith is very important to you. When did Jesus Christ come into your life?
Oh, I was 11 years old when I made the decision. And I know it was a young age, but I remember hearing people describe what it felt like whenever they got saved and stuff like that. And I just remember just being in church one Sunday, and I knew it was the Holy Spirit got a hold of me, and I walked down the aisle and told the preacher I wanted to become a child of God and believe in Jesus, and just ever since then it's been just a maturity effect. But I can look back and say that I had God at that young age, and definitely have grown in that relationship.
How does Christ come into your pitching and your time, the various frustrations that go on with playing in minor league ball and trying to get back to the majors. How does your Christian philosophy enter into that?
Yeah. Some people think that that makes us soft. And I know, I believe it was Andre Dawson. It was one of those guys that was just like, are you kidding me? We have nothing to lose as a Christian competitor. And that's the way I see it. I have nothing to lose because I see it as I've been given a gift, and he's got me in whatever place he puts me, and I'm going to go give everything I can with the gift he's given me. It's kind of like that's his gift to me, and my gift back is using it to the best ability I can to glorify him.
I know you got on the right team when you got with the Dodgers because the Dodgers had some high-profile guys on there who were Christians and some guys who were not necessarily high-profile, but they had some strong Christian players. Who were some of the players on the Dodgers that you kind of palled around with as Christians?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of solid guys, and I was always blessed to have that many teammates that were believers. Just it made that iron sharpening iron concept is just – it was easy, but Clayton Kershaw, he's been solid. A.J. Ellis was just kind of that leader behind the gear, behind the plate. And he, in which you wouldn't notice it, you wouldn't know it unless you ever got to really know him, but he sticks out big time for me. But there was just a whole crew of guys where hotels were doing Bible studies, chaplains were just overwhelmed whenever we'd all show up. It was always pretty neat.
I know in a major league clubhouse, there's a lot of things going on. There's a lot of temptations. There's a lot of money. There's just anything you want, you can get. How important is it to have, as you say, and you've maybe already answered this question with the iron sharpens iron, but how important is it to have Christian buddies in the major league clubhouse?
It's just accountability. I mean, I've never been that guy that's made all the $1 million. Couldn't tell you what it feels like to feel like I've got it all situated and got my bank account lined out to where I'm going to be comfortable for the rest of my life. But I think that's just one of those things that God's used me for, because you got some of those guys that have, and accountability is just a huge tool that other believers can hold each other accountable with in a clubhouse.
Now, you're a veteran now. You're a veteran in the minor league camp, and you're a veteran, as you say, back with the Brewers and with some of these guys. What effect and how can you have an effect on some of these younger guys coming up who are definitely challenged by the lifestyle that baseball brings?
It's tough just because you put all these expectations on yourself, and not only that, you've got coaches with expectations of you wanting to succeed, and so it's a young guy ran through a tough outing the other day, and he's got good stuff, and he's going to pitch in the big leagues a long time. And you could just see it on his face. And you take a guy like me, and I'm just going to walk out and put a hand on it and just let him know that, hey, sometimes being humble from the get-go is what's going to make you learn a lesson now where you can do it for a long time. But it's just living, going out there and trying to make yourself that guy that's out there that's going to make that next guy even better.
And it sounds like you were blessed growing up in a Christian family in Jackson, Mississippi. Tell me a little bit about what your family life was like growing up.
I was blessed to have that, no doubt about it. I had a mom and dad that cared, that would drag you to church, drag me to church, drag my brother to church, which they didn't have to drag it because we were always excited to go because that's all our friends went to it. But I remember nightly, you rolled my eyes at it now, but looking back at it, man, I mean, how awesome was this? Because my mom, we'd be going to bed and you could hear her hollering out, get down here, we'd come down there, and everybody would pray. My dad would finish it up, my mom would start us, and me and my brother would pray in between. But just, it's kind of cool because you think about it, just because when Jesus left, all the disciples sat around and they were like, they didn't ask how we could do miracles and all this, but they asked him, they were like, teach us to pray. Mm-hmm. And looking back, I had parents that taught me to pray, and that's the best way that we communicate and have that relationship with Christ.
I think one of the things you told me before is when your playing days are over, you would love to coach. And being a Christian coach, I would think, would be very, very important. At what level would you like to coach?
It's all a fog right now. I can't tell you, just because I would love to do the college level. I'd love to do the high school level, just because you get them when they're young at the high school level. But I mean, right now I feel like I do a little bit of coaching back home. I've got a small little baseball place where I have kids every age up to high school coming in, But coaching that high school, college, professional, I just haven't been given that clarity of what might be next. But coaching would just be one of those things where I feel like it would be just one of the biggest impacts you can make after you play in this game.
And the important thing, of course, is to whatever you're doing, being in God's plan. Brent, I always appreciate our friendship. We've hung out together and done some things, which is a little different than some of the other players that I've had on face-to-face. But I know that one of the things we've always talked about is getting into the Word. What is a favorite verse of yours these days?
Oh, I've got one right here, and I'm going to read it just because it's a little longer, but it's Galatians 6:14. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I do to the world. But that's Galatians 6:14, and it spoke a lot to me just because of where I am.
Yep.
And it's kind of been my go-to line. I've put it on my Twitter page. I've put it everywhere just where people can kind of see that and maybe take a stab at checking me out.
Well, I hope so, and I hope we get a chance to do some things in a major league park. I hope you get your shot with the Brewers this year.
So yep. I'll be working for it.
All right.
Like that.
Brent Leach of the Milwaukee Brewers. We will take a break and be back, so don't go away. You are listening to Face to Face. Welcome back to Face to Face. Hope you enjoyed our time with Brent. He's a great guy, and he is a rock-solid Christian. He is a guy who walks the walk, not just says I'm a Christian and signs baseballs with scripture verses, although he does that, but his life is very, very much in the realm of what it means to be a solid Christian ball player, a solid Christian husband, solid Christian father, and a good friend. I consider him a good friend. So hope that you'll keep an eye out on Brent and pray for him, and let's hope that this is the year that Brent gets to play at Miller Park. Let's hope that he gets a chance to come up with the Milwaukee Brewers, and we'll be looking forward to that. Well, we would like to point you to our website. Our website is at face2faceradio.com. And if you're ever in need of inspiration from athletes, we hope you'll check that out because we have a number of different interviews up there. And we've got some other things. We've got some books that are up there. And also Tracy Hansen of the LPGA and Lynx International has a devotional up there. And so there's a lot of good things to look at. We hope that you'll check that out. Once again, that's at face2faceradio.com. And also, by the way, that is where you'll find not only this interview that we had with Brent, but you can also find other interviews that we've had in the past. And we hope that you'll check that out. face2faceradio.com. Well, as we close today, I want to take you to the Psalms. The 9th Psalm, 10th verse, here's what it says. Those who know your name will trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. I don't know about you, but sometimes I think life can be tough. And I think sometimes we just look for a little extra boost and we have to get a help. And we know that when we pray and when we ask Jesus Christ to be a part of our life, when we ask him to guide us, that he will do that. And as the Bible says there, that God will never leave us nor forsake us. And I don't know about you, but that's a comforting verse to me. That's about it for us. We look forward to having you back next week. We'll have another Christian athlete. Till then, this is Tom Russ saying, remember this, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, be a good sport. Goodbye, everyone.
You've been listening to Face to Face with Tom Rust. For a free copy of today's program or for more information, please write to Face to Face Ministries, P.O. Box 125, Columbus, Indiana 47202, or call Face to Face Ministries at 812-376-3000 or toll free at 1-800-479-0952. You can also find us on the web at face2faceradio.com. Join us again next week as Tom Rust goes face to face.